this last week was interesting because my dad asked me to preach today. Well, originally he said, either this Sunday or the following, but I'll let you know. And then he told me like an hour later, it'll be this Sunday. So I was taking the time. Sometimes it's difficult to prepare a sermon, especially when it's like last minute. But the thing is that, at least for me, when God gives me a word to preach, it's not something just for you guys to listen to. It's something that God is ministering and talking to my life as well. And one of the things that, looking with everything, the situation that's going on in this world, I feel like a question that a lot of us may ask is, where is God in these evil times? And sometimes it's hard to answer the question when people ask, well, why does God allow these things to happen? Or why is this going on? Where can we find God in this, in these situations? Or what's going on? What are the answers? Give it to me. And sometimes when we're confronted with these questions, we don't know how to respond. And so, I mean, the question is, like, where is God when the world feels like it's spinning in chaos? When injustice, you know, screams louder than peace? When families fracture and darkness seems thicker than ever? That question, where is God? You know, it echoes. It feels like it just echoes in every corner, on the streets, it's in the headlines, and throughout the world, throughout the cries of the world, it seems like God mad. But I propose that we dig deeper, asking not only where is God, but where are we? Are we standing as God's people in the face of turmoil? Are we choosing faith over fear, hope over despair? God's position is unchanging, but ours must be intentional. So today, we'll open up his word and discover the answers to some of these questions. So the first point I have is, God's presence is consistent, waiting for a response. And so, to answer the question of where is God, we're going to go to Revelations 3, verse 20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Christ himself here, a Savior, patiently waiting at the door of every human heart. He knocks, not with force, not in anger, but with a gentle persistence. Now imagine the scene, Jesus, the very Son of God, standing in the rain outside the stormy night of our lives. And he knocks, steadfast and undeterred. The Greek word hitsemi, meaning to stand firm, captures his position or his posture. That he stands steady, unshaken, ready to come in and bring peace if only we open the door. So think of a house that's being battered by the storm. Inside, someone hides in fear, locking every door, closing every window. And outside stands Jesus, steady, intentional, unyielding to the storm. He will not barge in. He waits for an invitation. His love is relentless. His patience unfathomable. He is near, even in our darkest places, waiting. So I ask you, where is Jesus standing in your life? Are these doors you've bolted shut? Are there doors that you've bolted shut maybe doors of past wounds, places of doubt, fears you dare not face. Today, he stands outside those very doors knocking. His presence is not passive, but intentional, waiting for us to let him into every corner of our lives. So where is Jesus knocking in your life today? Will you let him in? Open the door and let his light banish the shadows within. Number two is our response in troubled times. How are we to respond when the situations seem impossible to respond to? And I'd like to give it an example in Job chapter 27, 2 through 6. It says, "As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice? The mighty who has made my life bitter. As long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked, and my tongue will not utter lies. I will never admit you are right or in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my innocence and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live." Now, Job's story is one of profound suffering. He lost everything. Family, health, wealth. Yet he clung to his integrity and faith. Despite the voices of despair around him, Job declared, "As long as there is breath in me, I will hold on to my integrity." Job shows us that even in the midst of the bitterness, we can choose to honor God. Picture Job sitting in the ashes, scarred and bruised. His friends accuse. His heart aches, and yet his spirit remains undivided. The Hebrew word tumah speaks of completeness. Job's commitment to God was whole and steadfast, unbroken by the world's bitterness. When trials surround us, how do we respond? Do we let anger fester, allowing bitterness to poison our faith? Or like Job, do we stand firm, keeping our hearts pure? The enemy doesn't have to destroy us. Sometimes he merely seeks to discourage us until we are silenced. But Job shows us another way to be steadfast, to hold on to God no matter the circumstance. So take a moment. In these troubled times, are you holding fast unto your integrity? Are you standing whole before God, refusing to let bitterness claim your heart? Let us be like Job, steadfast, a light in a world where darkness is quick to settle. Number three I have is God calls us to be a light amid darkness. When I was younger, now that I'm getting older, I can now say when I was younger. I remember when the technology was starting to change, and they were going from now using cassette tapes to CDs, and my parents bought me a CD or like a Walkman that it had high-tech technology. It could have buffer for 5 seconds without skipping. So it was impressive. You could almost jog with it without it skipping. But I remember the first CD that I got was from an artist called Stacy Orico. Her first CD that she came out, it was a Christian CD. Afterwards, she completely lost her way. But one of the songs that she had in that disc was, don't look at me, look at him. Because she was giving the example saying, I can fail, but he can't. But on the contrary, God calls us to be that light. God calls us to be that example. Even though we are human and we can fail, we are still to be his image here on the earth. So I agree that we should be focused on him rather than a person, but we are still meant to be that image of Christ here amidst the darkness. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So where is God in these dark times? He's within us, calling us to shine. Jesus, the light of the world, commissioned us to be the bearers of his light, to stand boldly as cities on a hill. Light doesn't blend in with the darkness. It stands out, cutting through it, guiding others towards hope. Just like a lighthouse guides the boats at sea. Or are we walking amidst the darkness, hiding it? Now, in Jesus' day, it wasn't like today. Light wasn't taken for granted. Every flame was tended carefully. Each lamp set on a stand to illuminate the home. Jesus says, you are the light. Our faith isn't meant to be hidden, but to illuminate the world around us, drawing others toward the Father. And I like that. I love that example of the lamp, that you have to be intentional with what you're doing. It's not like today. I like to my dad jokes around sometimes going into a room when I was younger. At least he did this. And he said, "Let there be light," and he'd flip on the switch. And I kind of like to imagine that's how it was when God said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was just light. But when Jesus was giving the example of being a light, there, it wasn't automatic that, oh, it's on a timer, it just turns on automatically at the time where it's meant to be. You had to go out of your way to make sure that oil was filled. You had to go out of your way to make sure that you lit the lamp in time before it got too dark to see what you're doing. And then you also had to make sure it was positioned in the correct location where the wind would not blow it out. So in the same way as we are called to be the light of the world, we need to be intentional in the preparation to be the light. Are we hiding our light? Do we cower when the world grows dark, silencing our hope to blend in with the despair? Or are we shining courageously, letting God's love and truth radiate through us? A city on a hill doesn't try to blend in. It stands out proudly, so must we. In a world where it's so easy to conform, are you standing out for Christ? Let your light be a beacon, a light that draws others towards the love and mercy of God. Let's choose to shine boldly. And in these evil times, where is God? He's at the door, knocking. He's waiting for every soul to invite him in, to become a light in the darkness, to stand in integrity and truth. God has not abandoned us. He calls us to embody his presence here and now. And with the world so opposed to truth and so opposed to light, it's obviously going to hurt when they hear the truth. Just as when we have a wound and someone comes and touches it, it hurts. It does the same thing when we are shining the light and we speak with them. And the Holy Spirit begins to poke the sin that's in their life. They're not going to enjoy it. But it gives the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to operate. It's not our responsibility. It is not our doings to change someone. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to shine so that the Holy Spirit can flow and work through us. And so, my friends, I would rather lose a potential friend here on this earth than lose my eternity in heaven, than to conform to the world that is changing around me. And I could definitely say the world that I grew up in years ago was very different than the world that it was today. And I imagine those that are older than me could say that even farther back. The world is in constant change, but it seems to be going in the wrong direction. But even more so, it's so much important that we continue to be that light. That we not be afraid or decide to give in, saying, well, I've already told them so many times and they keep rejecting me. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. And Christ calls us to continue forward. So I would rather be yelled at for a moment for saying something, even though maybe that family member or that friend or that person on the street, no matter how many times I may have told them that Christ loves them, that they need to change their ways, I would rather be yelled at in that moment than be later on saying, why didn't I take advantage of the time I had to say something before it was too late? The devil only wants to silence us. If he can't destroy us, but he can give us fear. Fear controls. It silences you. The scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. But how many people can say that they have lost opportunities in their lives because of fear? And it could even be something completely unrelated. It could be say, well, I was too afraid to start my own business. I was too afraid to do this other thing. I was too afraid to move to this place. And you live your life thinking, what would have happened if I would have not had fear and I would have gone forward and done that? In the same way, the devil tries to give us fear so we do not open our mouths to profess what he has said and what he has proclaimed. Because, well, what are they going to say? Well, let me ask you this. In how many years are you going to be saying, wow, what would have happened if I would have said something? Don't let what-ifs happen in your future when it comes to following the Word of God. Just be diligent. Be intentional with everything that you're doing. Take the time to fill the oil, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you don't have to take that or accept what the world is throwing at us. Say, I know what the Scripture says. I know what the Word of God is, so I don't have to accept what you're trying to give to me. So I would encourage you, even though this message might be short, I'd rather be short and straight to the point than to do laps around the parking lot. But I would encourage you to be that light and to really ask yourself, where are you during this situation? Where are you in this life? What doors have you kept closed to God? What's hiding in your closet? Does God have access to everything in your life? Or is there something hidden? Let God take control. Let God be the one to determine what is right and wrong. And let us just follow what He says. Bow your heads with me this morning.